Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Welcome to episode number 194 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. This is one of our mini shows. My name is Lee.
I am Keith.
I'm Raymond.
This is your first time listening to the show. Congratulations, you picked a real winner. I'm going to go ahead and get out in front of this and say this is a good one. This is one of our minis where we drink a beer and talk about just that beer. The previous episode and the next episode in our feeds are our full episodes. On our full episodes, we also talk about homebrewing and running and review two beers. If you like the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find out about the show. Or you can tell a friend by posting about the show on Facebook or Twitter. If you do that, be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. Today's a little bit of a repeat in a way, kind of, sort of, but we're going to do it anyway. Keith, what are we drinking?
This year, we're once again going to be having Samuel Adams Utopias.
Utopias!
However, this year we will be having the 2017 vintage of this beer. Was it the 2016 that we had previously, or was it 2015?
2015,
okay. So we've skipped a year.
Well, they don't make it every year. I think they skip years.
Oh, really?
Do
they skip years?
Yeah. I think it's just...
I guess they have to let the beer mature before they start blending with the other vintages and other things that they blend with. So that kind of makes sense a little bit, that they wouldn't be able to just crank it out every year.
You can go back if you are looking for our last time we had that 2015 Sam Adams. That's episode number 150. Go back in the podcast feed, listen to episode 150. Mm. That shouldn't be too embarrassing. To go back and listen to that one. That one should be
But that's a nice real round number. That must have been
why we did it on that episode. And, you know, I'm looking in the picture of when we drank it. We took the pictures right over here in this very room.
Did we have like hair and no wrinkles back then?
I mean, I had hair a little bit. I mean, I've got less now, I guess. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I had less of both. Or no, more hair, less wrinkles. Okay. Yeah, so we're having Sam Adams Utopias again. Utopias is a pretty interesting beer. As we said, it's not a beer that they brew all the time. It's not a beer that's necessarily easy to get for a couple of reasons, one of which is the ABV, which precludes it from being shipped to certain locales.
28% this year.
28%.
28%.
And that does... It was 28% last time we had it, too. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of a moving number, because what goes into this beer changes whenever they brew it. So it does affect the ABV and the flavors that are involved and everything else. So technically, they call this an American Strong Ale, right? I think that's what the classification... They probably don't bother calling it anything.
I don't think they do, but yeah, that's probably the most logical place to put this.
And it's a blend of several different beers at several different points of aging to make this concoction that they call Utopias. And for me, it's a really interesting beer, because it seems in so many ways atypical of what we know Samuel Adams and Boston Beer Company for doing. You know, we know them for the lager that is so ubiquitous that they make, which I had again recently, and is just still a solid beer.
It's a good one.
It's a totally solid choice for a lot of places that may not have a lot of craft to get. It was totally enjoyable. I was glad to have it. But they, within their world, Samuel Adams is constantly putting out new beers. Every year, there's new stuff on their release calendar they haven't put out before. Mm-hmm. They've got a number of fan favorites that they continue to make. That Rebel IPA series is doing well for them. They're doing lots of different things. But Utopias is really a whole different class of beer. And I can't think of another brewery that really puts out something like that in the way they present it, the way that they concoct it.
Yeah.
You think about Firestone Walker with a lot of the blends that they do with some of those beers that they put together. Yeah, I mean, they're big and they're boozy. And
I mean, the brewery's doing this with their anniversary beers, and their every year it's a blend of all of the previous, you know, years, and they're doing that kind of thing. But not with the presentation, the total intensity of alcohol. I mean, there's a lot of breweries that have tried to make the booziest beer ever as sort of like a challenge. It's, you know, it's just a challenge. It's like, let's make something boozy. But this is really a true dedication to crafting something. And, you know, and it's, I mean, this is the kind of thing that I think that you want to seek out and try. And it's kind of, in the way that the craft beer world has gone over the past few years, it is refreshing to see it coming from a brewery that you might not normally think of in those terms. You know, I mean, almost 50 episodes ago, I thought I'd never try it. You know, I was like, I knew it was way out of my price range, and it would just come down to someone having some and saying, hey, would you like to try it? And I don't get myself into too many of those situations. So now to have it a second time is really pretty awesome, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see how this might be different than how I remember the last batch, too. I think it was the batch that came out right before the 2015, maybe the 2013 that they did. That was a sour that they were actually kind of, if I'm remembering correctly, it was described as being that. The reviews were very, very mixed on that one, because I think it was not what a lot of people had come to expect from this beer who'd had the chance to have it before. Right. So I'm excited to see what, if anything, seems to be different this year than the one before. But we would be highly remiss to jump into drinking this beer without talking about the presentation. So Raymond, you know, you're not going to see this beer on your local shelf. This is a beer that, if a retailer is able to get it, they're probably even keeping it in the individual shipping box and keeping it behind the counter. And it's something you would have to ask for, or perhaps get on a list for in advance and be a good customer of that establishment to have the opportunity to get. So once you say opened up the cardboard box that it came in, what is the serving vessel for this beer?
Well, it's a really interesting, we'll start off with the shape. It kind of looks like one of the vintage kind of brewing or copper brewing vessels.
A fermenter, like an old style fermenter.
So it's got that look to it. It's kind of fat and wide at the bottom, and it tapers up into a really nice thin pour spout. Like those old fermenters, it has the windows that slide. It's kind of a functional part of the vessel here, but it opens up instead of seeing into the beer. It's you've got a nice little portrait of Sam Adams. Looks like a and each one of those that we've the two that we've seen, they've been different images in there. The rest of this has looked the same from the from one to the next.
Yeah, I think the door. I think Keith mentioned earlier the door in the original in the last one we had was one door that opened, and this one is two slides. Okay. And then the portrait of Samuel Adams is different, which I think is the new one that they've changed on the rest of their marketing too, to have kind of the friendlier Sam or whatever. It kind of has a different expression.
The whole things they're made. They're ceramic, so they're handmade. Are they hand like? What do you call them? Turned.
I actually don't know if it's a production method, because I think what they're usually like around 1,500 of these. I haven't checked to see what the number is on this year's batch, how many they made. I'm not sure if that's in the info card or not.
And then they're glazed into that kind of copper color here. The cool thing is, and we noted this, is it's got a really wonderful little heavy top to it that screws on, but inside of that, it's got a regular old pop top, Sam Adams pop top on it.
Yeah, it's got the legit Samuel Adams bottle cap right inside. Once you unscrew the copper top or the ceramic top that's glazed in the copper, highly reflective metallic glaze, it's really nice. Kind of the oiled bronze finish on the windows that open up to see the portrait of Sam Adams inside. I hate that they have to put that government warning thing all over it, and which I understand they have to do, but it's on the neck of it and is printed in white and really takes you out of it. If you look at the opposite side of it, you can't see it. Is it just a sticker?
Yeah, it's a sticker.
It's just a sticker. All right, cool. So it's not printed on it. All right, I'll take that off later. If you look on the bottom, make sure the top is attached tightly. But if you flip it over, does it say anything about the edition size on the bottom? I can't remember.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Limited 2017 edition number 14,349.
And does it say out of the edition size? Is it 15,000 or is it?
It does not say out of the of the total edition side. It does say handcrafted ceramic and it's made in Brazil. It's got a company that's in Portuguese, but I'm not going to try to read that.
Cool. So super nice presentation. They actually, same as before, when you buy a bottle of this, it comes, I believe, with a certificate to redeem for a glass. So it has the kind of proper glassware that goes along with this. Keith, how would you describe the glass for this? It's what, maybe a, is it even an 8 ounce glass or is it that much?
Maybe not even. I mean, 8 would be probably your best guess.
Most, yeah.
Let's see. We have the box here, made in Germany. Does not say on the packaging. I mean, let's go ahead and say it's 6 to 8 ounces probably. Yeah. I don't think you really need all that much, you know.
No, you're meant to have a small pour of this. So, it's a footed glass. It has kind of a heavy foot to it.
I've had some. It's like a whiskey glass. It's a bigger one. It's not quite as tulipy tapered as you see a lot of them, or even beer glasses. So it's has a little bit of a kind of taper in and back out at the top, but. It's almost like a tall kind of whiskey glass, really, is what it looks like.
So. Yeah, and it's got the Samuel Adams Utopias logo there on it. But otherwise, it's just a really nice heavyweight
kind of
sampler glass size. And like you said, this is not something you would anticipate sitting down and drinking a lot of.
No.
We did relatively small pours. I mean, ounce and a half pours. I mean, maybe 2 ounces.
Maybe 2 ounces, yeah.
For these, for the purpose of today. Because at 28%, we need to be able to still be upright.
Yeah, exactly.
When we talk
about
this.
This is not something you open and finish unless you have a large group
party
of people, you know, and you are, that's your plan. So.
Which wouldn't be the bad way to procure one of these either, too. I mean, because they can be expensive depending on where you're picking them
up. That's true. Yeah. If you get like, you know, 10 people to go in and pay their share, you know, might be worth it.
It's a pretty economical way to do it. And then just kill it. Why not? we do have this poured into our glasses already. Raymond, how would you describe Utopias 2017 in the glass?
Honestly, it looks a lot like a bourbon. It's got that dark brown this time around. Some kind of copper notes in there, reddish copper notes in there, reddish brown. Maybe a little thinner than that, but that's about the color.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty dark, but you can light passes through it. You can see if you close your hand around the glass. You know, you can definitely tell a difference in the quality of it. It seems
very,
even though
very clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even though it's dark, I feel like it's very clear, which is nice. I think it's the viscosity of it definitely seems like a whiskey or a liquor. There's no carbonation. I think it's important to mention that. This is something that you do open and reseal. It is not something that is necessarily meant to be served with bubbles. it definitely does not come with them. It's going to be a still drinking experience for sure. And that same kind of goes for lacing. It's the lacing that you get is like the lacing you would have with a liquor. It's really just the clear kind of remnants of the liquid after you move it around the glass. There's no head or anything like that to describe on it as well. Aroma, Keith, what are you getting on the nose for this?
I mean, the first thing I notice is certainly the alcohol content, but it, as we keep saying, oh, it's very bourbony, whiskey. It's not that to me. It's not quite as maybe fruity as I was expecting. I was maybe expecting some bigger fruit notes, but a lot of kind of sweeter caramel, toffee, Almost a slight nuttiness going on in there.
Yeah, I think that's all really, really fair. I was kind of looking through notes of last time we had had this, and I'll read those notes a little bit later on.
Yeah,
but we definitely talked about there being more of a more cherry, more. Mm-hmm. And with this, I'm getting a lot of just kind of the really high acidic sweet notes that I do associate more with liquor. Mm-hmm. And not that it's not robust and round, but that's really predominant. Yeah. And more so than some of the other kind of hints of more delicate flavors.
I'm, I'm starting to feel the alcohol burn just on the nose, and there's almost a almost kind of a boozy, citrusy note going on, almost like a bit of orange liqueur going on there.
Go ahead and give it a sip, guys, because this is a really, I feel like a different tasting experience from last time, and I feel like it's different than what the nose was leading me on to a little bit as well. Raymond, you were humming in appreciation of that. What are you getting on the taste here?
It's much sweeter than I remember last time. Last time I remember thinking that it tasted a lot like a grappa, which is an Italian it had a lot of port wine to it. Yeah, that port wine. This is much sweeter. It's very smooth. It still has that kind of, there's a little wine happening in there. I do get that musty grape.
Kind of in the aftertaste finish. It's there, but not in the distinctly in the flavor.
But I was expecting something much boozier after smelling it, and it's not. It doesn't nearly have that booziness on the flavor.
Keith, do you agree with that, or do you get the booze?
I get the booze for sure.
I get it.
Now I don't drink a lot of liquor, brown liquors, or any other kind of liquors. So to me, this it still has a lot of beer and malt flavor characters, but to me, it's drinking a lot more like a sip, like two fingers of bourbon or whiskey or something like that. In the way it comes off, There's also the initial thing that I noticed was a saltiness to this too. It's not soy sauce, but it's in that world. I'm definitely getting some. It struck me. That was the first thing. It tasted salty on my lips before it really got in my mouth. And the second and third sip took a couple more sips after that. That faded, but it was. That saltiness was shocking at first. It really hit me hard. So
I am so warm right now. I've had two sips of this and I am just almost flush. I think from the alcohol and from the individual elements that I'm getting out of this, maybe I'm more sensitive to it or maybe I'm surprised about it again. I do get that musty grape and I'm kind of holding on to that a little bit, but also just a fire water characteristic to this too, which really is the alcohol burn and the kind of the fine, clean alcohol aroma and warmth from it as well. But that you talked about the kind of baser elements of beer that you get in this. And I was reading through your review of the last one too, which I will read. And you talked about it there too. And I remember it being hard for me before and hard for me now really to start kind of breaking the beer part of it down. Like, because it did and does to me still taste more like some sort of a wine liquor hybrid than for me to go through and be like, oh, well, the hops and the malt and the way the water connects with those things. And my brain just isn't making that connection. So when you're talking about tasting the beer like elements, describe to me what you're getting from those individual pieces and maybe how I or another listener could kind of make those connections.
I'm not sure, apart from malt character, that I'm getting a whole lot of what you would typically expect out of beer. There's a little bit of bitterness going on in this. It's very mild and subdued, and clearly the intention isn't to make a beer that tastes like beer. And I feel like I remember the last time we had this, the 2015, which we had in 2017 and did on the podcast, so we had sort of revisited it at that point.
I just looked at my notes. We actually had this twice on the podcast.
We did it in 2015, we did it at
episode 100 and 150.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. There you go. So we're a little early for the next bit. But I remember there being more, and again, this is a hard one to really remember because it's a small amount for a really short period of time that's really intense. Yes. I will be interested to hear the notes, but it won't be the same beer, but I'll be interested to hear what I had written. But for this beer, there is some definite distinct malt character to me that comes out that's very beer-like. Mm-hmm. It's all in the forefront, and then I get more of that. I get more of a really boozy wine thing in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's not so much a musty grape, but just like very high alcohol content wine. And again, it's going to develop over time. And then towards the back end, then there's maybe a little hint of bitterness that I'm getting. And then in the aftertaste, I get a lot of that kind of lingering kind of musty grape, even some mild Belgian type character coming out in the end, in the aftertaste of this beer. But those are some of the beer. Well, I guess the wine part I mentioned doesn't really count, but that would be where I get things that remind me of beer.
How is the salinity continuing to hold for you? Are you still getting?
I still get it on the front end. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like right at the initial taste, there is, and which is common for like really a lot of really high malt forward, especially German beers like your Doppelbock and stuff. It's common to have, and it's almost expected, really, to have that kind of salty, soy saucy kind of flavor. And soy sauce is the wrong word. That is not what I'm tasting. So it's not to say that this is a soy sauce bomb or something like that. But there was a distinct saltiness or salinity, like you said, like right on the front end of this. And it's still there. It was only really intense that first sip. And now I kind of know what to expect going in. So my brain is sort of triggered to taste it.
So you've got the kind of information card there in front of you. In the first paragraph, it's a lot of information. I'm not going to ask you to read it all. But in the first paragraph or two, does it have kind of a basic breakdown? I know that, and I'll read that review you've got here, but you had a little bit from it there that kind of broke down what the basic process was when it came to blending. Is there a succinct way from this year's to kind of wrap that up?
There's a little bit in here. Let's see. This year's release is a blend of batches, some having been aged up to 24 years in a variety of barrels. We aged a portion of the beer in hand-selected single-use bourbon casks from Buffalo Trace. Yeah. Aquavit? Okay. Carcavelos? I'm not sure if that's a wine. Ruby Port and Muscat finishing barrels. So it seems like there's different liquors, wines that are being used there as well. Those are the only type of barrels that are mentioned. And they don't mention the specific, what percentage or what went into that. Obviously, it's sort of a blending process. It says, at the final step, we blend a touch of Cosmic Mother Funk, a one-of-a-kind Belgian ale that we fermented for 2 years in Hungarian oak foeders at our Boston brewery. Yada, yada, yada. That'll tell about what it, you know, adding port and cognac and sherry notes and stuff like that.
Okay.
Bottled only 68 wooden casks of this one, 2000. And I was looking at Untappd. And it looks like they have officially claimed it. It looks like there was a 2016 version of this. So
okay.
I guess they do it every year.
Yeah.
I mean, it had like the picture next to it, which usually means that the brewery is actually claiming it as a real thing. But so those are the sort of the basics on it. There's some other stuff about some of the hops that were used and the type of malts and whatnot. But all right. Really, a lot of that's going to be so far gone that I don't think it's really. I mean, if you get a hold of one, you can read this card as easily as I can read it to you.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I'll kind of skip through your review a little bit. I'll mention off the top
You did have some of that card info there from the 2015. Brewed in small limited batches, each their own blend of different vintages. Utopia is at a very high gravity, using a wide variety of malted barley and a touch of maple syrup. No touch of syrup in this one? No?
I'm picking up on a little sweetness that might be maple.
Inspired by whiskey makers, we took the barrel aging process for Utopias to another level by utilizing a blend of scotch, bourbon, port, and cognac casks from the award-winning Buffalo Trace. But then we'll get on to your review.
The barrels are different. Mm-hmm. So definitely going to have a different beer.
Yeah, definitely. You talked a little bit about the aesthetic qualities, but we'll get into the taste here. The beer is served at room temperature. Forgot to mention that before. Yeah, you don't chill this. It's just room temperature. And pours with a surprisingly clear, dark caramel color. Highlights of golden orange and red, similar to a good bourbon or cognac. I was really expecting something a bit cloudier for some reason. Much like a distilled liquor, this malt beverage has no carbonation. The aroma is an intense collection of alcohol, raisin, caramel, cherry, hints of chocolate, and roast. The initial taste brings a strong soy sauce saltiness that quickly fades to a reasonable level. This is followed by some burnt raisin and sweeter caramel toffee notes. Random notes of spice appear and disappear with each sip. This drink, so much like a pour of a high-quality liquor, but still manages to retain the base qualities of a beer. So, there was some fruit stuff that we talked about, like raisins and cherries.
Yeah,
and
I'm not getting, obviously I was really keyed into the raisin thing, and I do kind of remember that, it was, to me, it was just kind of dried dark fruit on a lot of it, and I don't, honestly, that never came to my mind at all with this year's vintage.
Now that you've read that, I smell that, but I don't taste it.
I feel like this is a much higher note all the way through than I remember the other one. I remember the other one being a lower, just being more kind of...
See, I'm getting maple syrup now on the nose.
Right?
And I mean, I don't know if it was being mentioned, but I am totally
getting... It was mentioned.
I'm totally getting this
Yeah. Yeah, in the official description for the 2015, they talked about the maple syrup. Yeah. I remember the other one just being a lot more toothy, difficult. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but just a lot meatier, a lot more of the kind of darker fruits that you mentioned.
Which gave it more of still a beer. Because there's a lot of beers that have a lot of dark fruity flavors, and which is... typical. I mean, you can drink a whole bunch of different styles and get that kind of flavor. But I just don't get dark. This seems drier, not as sweet to me. I know you mentioned it being sweet on at first, and it certainly has sweetness to it. But there's a dryness to this one that I would associate more with booze, a liquor. You know, I don't. It's this. Is, I mean, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. Without being able to really be in two times at the same time and being able to really do a side by side of, you know, us having the 15 when we first had it versus now with the 17. But clearly from that description, there's some things that are the same that I'm getting the same reaction. There's some things that are different. I think that it's interesting. I don't remember that kind of saltiness, you know, but obviously I was experiencing the same exact thing that experience. I almost literally verbatim said the same thing. There's this huge rush of saltiness up front, and then it fades over time, and it kind of goes away.
Which is so funny because that saltiness is something I did not remember.
I don't remember that at all.
Obviously, I'm sure we can go back and listen to this podcast, and I'll be like, oh yeah, right. We all talked about that. We all said those exact same words. I'm not going to do that. That sounds like torture. but this is, again, it's very... It's a very unique beer tasting experience to have this. I think that's the big takeaway for me.
I'm getting more of those kind of sherry notes out of this one. If there's any fruit in there, I'd say it's a very dry kind of cherry, sherry wine kind of thing. But again, when it comes to dark fruit flavors, I'm not getting them in this one as nearly as much as I did previously.
I could probably convince myself to some degree of cherry, but it's not a big burst of that kind of a flavor. And that's a flavor I'm susceptible to not enjoying And whatever I'm getting of cherry in this, I actually like a lot. So there is that. I do want to take a time and take some of our time here and play a quick little game. Let's play a game of Keith's spreadsheet here.
Thought I was going to get out of it this time.
Nope.
Sorry. We're
going Utopia is 2015.
Good guess. Nope.
Let's do this.
All right, I was looking through Keith's spreadsheet. Keith keeps this wonderful spreadsheet, lets us have access to it with all the beers that he's had a chance to try over the last couple of years, writes a short write-up, and gives his basic thoughts on it. I was looking for a beer that was another blend, and this one popped up, and this is one that I don't think I actually realized was a blend until I read his review of it here. So it may not be super obvious here, but let's see how you do, Raymond. I'm going to read this review. You come up with your best guess to see if you can figure out what it is. Are you ready?
Nope.
All right, great. This is an Imperial Stout.
Okay.
Okay. It's a blend of two other stouts, commercially available, well-known stouts, aged in freshly retired oak bourbon barrels for a few months. Rich, dark chocolate cake, subtle notes of vanilla, and just the right amount of bourbon. This beer is so incredibly thick and creamy. One of the best beers I've ever had. Absolutely brilliant. 5 out of 5. A+.
Wow. And it was a surprise for you that it was a blend.
I didn't realize that.
Huh. Huh.
Keith, do you know what this beer is?
Is this a beer? Is it the same brewery's beer or is it two different breweries?
It's coming the same brewery's beer.
Same brewery's beers.
Blended together to make two different Russian Imperial Stouts blended together to make.
I don't know that both of the original. I don't think both of the originals are Imperial Stouts. I think one of them is. I don't think the other one is. They're blended together and then they are aged in bourbon barrels.
It's such a short review. Mm-hmm. I didn't. There wasn't probably enough for me to really remember. I want it. I want.
Yeah, I did too. I was like,
I really want some of whatever this is.
Oh, man.
That was a short one. Read it again, real quick.
All right. Imperial Stout. A blend of, and I'm not blank, saying the name of the stouts because mm-hmm. a blend of blank and blank, aged in freshly retired oak bourbon barrels for months. Rich, dark chocolate cake, subtle notes of vanilla, and just the right amount of bourbon. This beer is so incredibly thick and creamy. One of the best beers I've ever had. Absolutely brilliant. 5 out of 5. A+.
Well, you'd think I'd remember one of the best beers I've ever had.
This is a brewery that is easy to come by here. Distributed in Georgia.
Is it Westbrook?
It is not.
Hmm.
You said just recently came here?
No. Has been here. Oh, yeah, has been here for a long time. Easy to get beers from this brewery. This one particular beer is harder to get from them. We can tell it's a special beer here. It's a rotating release. This list is rotating, but I think it actually may be annual now. May not have been before. Well, rotating means in and out.
Yeah.
Not all the time. It's from Michigan. It's a Michigan
beer. So Bell's was my second guess.
Bell's.
And is this the...
Thank you. Gosh, yes.
I think I know what it is.
Is this the...
Just came out, right?
Yeah, their Imperial Stout that comes out every year, and it's four packs. I can see the label. Help me out, Keith. I can't remember the name.
Do you want me to tell you the two beers that are in it? Yes.
Really? That's a blend.
Black Note is a blend, according to Keith's notes, I haven't looked this up independently, of Expedition Stout and Double Cream Stout.
Huh. I mean, I'm sure I would have done some amount of research about that. So.
Wow. I have not independently verified these facts.
That doesn't surprise me now that I hear it, but I didn't know that. I thought it was Expedition Stout taken to another level.
Someone might have to do research on that. I mean, it might be its own recipe now kind of thing. So, I mean...
I'm sure you wrote this.
If that first... If that was, I mean, as short as that is, that's from, like, when I first had it 5 years ago. So yeah, maybe it's its own recipe now.
I will say another 5 out of 5 A plus beer was your review of Utopias 2015.
Yeah, I mean as experiences go, I mean, I don't think that you can have. I mean, it's. I mean, this one is probably also. I mean, it's different. I mean, I might not go 5 out of 5. I don't think I. But I really like big dark fruity flavors, and I think all of that really came together for me really well with that vintage. But I mean, this is also great. I mean, and you know, this is like the one time every now and then I have something kind of like liquor, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm just almost never gonna choose it. I guess that's not true. Every now and then something shows up at work that someone's dropped off, or oh, try this, or have you, you know, and I'm like, yeah, these are great, but I don't like the way I'd feel if I sat around the house drinking, you know, liquor all day long. So
I'm excited to see how this changes with time. I wonder if some of that, just what I'm taking as that high end burn, is going to settle in and mix in and meld and become a little bit more muddy with the rest of it. If it does that, then I think that I will like it every bit as much as the 2015. And I think there's also something to be said about the first time you have something like this. And I think that 2015 probably holds a special place in my heart for being that weird, bizarro universe thing that first time I had it.
Oh, yeah.
And so revisiting it with a new vintage, it's definitely different. It's also very enjoyable. It still has a lot of those same qualities that I liked about having the 2015. But I'm very much looking forward to see how this changes. And I think that off mic, another night, we will do a side-by-side of these too and kind of see what we're getting between the 2015 and the 2017, and really kind of taste it through and get a little bit nerdier about exactly what we're getting as a difference here. I think that the big question with a beer like this, we were lucky enough to have this provided to us from Samuel Adams. Thanks a lot, Mr. Adams. You're a real sweetheart. But if you were presented with the opportunity to buy this beer, and we often talk about, you know, there's a cost value proposition with something like this. We said that if you had the chance to go in with several people, it makes a lot of sense. But if you had the chance, I assume this is like what it was before was like $150 bottle, something like that, depending on the place of selling it. I don't know what the actual retail on it is, but if you can find a bottle, that might be a price that is offered to you at. Raymond, what is your decision here on the 2017 Samuel Adams Utopias? Is it a buy or is it a pass on buy?
I think that if you have never had this beer before, I think, or if I had never had it before, I would drop $150 on a bottle of Utopias once at least, just for the experience, for going through what we've done. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to have two times. I don't know that I'd spend $300 on two bottles.
Right.
Yeah. But I would, if I hadn't already had the opportunity to have two, and maybe one day I'll do that to have so that we can have three.
Yeah. Keith, you said that you may not go 5 out of 5 on this one, this tasting experience for this beer.
I don't know. Knowing my tasting experience, I don't know, as enjoyable as this was, I don't think I would buy one if someone said, hey, I've got Utopias in the back. It's $170. Do you want one?
You could be like, I've had some this year, and my answer is...
Yeah, I would be like, oh, I really appreciate that, but I'm good. Thank you. I can't afford that. I think...
So you wouldn't pull out the phone and call us and be like, hey, you guys want to go three ways on...
Yeah, I don't... No, I mean, probably... I mean, no, probably not. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm not that... I'm just not that into... But... I think the last time around I would have, but like Raymond, this is exactly what Raymond said. Yeah. I would have maybe if I had the money, which I don't have the money to buy this expensive of a bottle of beer. But if I did, and having not had the opportunity to purchase one, I would do it immediately. If I had that money that I could spend in my pocket, I would have had bought one by now or sought one out, you know. But for this particular vintage, I don't think I would. But Raymond hits the nail on the head. If you've never experienced this beer and this opportunity arises and you do have the funds,
exactly,
this beer is well worth the money. Yeah. It's just not worth my money.
Yeah, don't skip your rent on getting a bottle of it. I think that goes maybe without saying, but if it's in your means and you have the opportunity to get it and you have not had Utopias before, or you're one of those people who has had it before and you're really trying to kind of chase down some different ways to experience a beer like this, I think that it's worth picking up for sure too. If it's in your means and you want to share it and you're just really like, well, how has it changed since the last time you've had it and you've tasted what there is to taste of.
I think there's a lot to like here that a lot of people would really like. I think that it's maybe not for the price 100% in my personal wheelhouse, but I know a lot of people who would really like this kind of thing. So I do think it's well worth it. To take a chance if you're on the fence. So.
And I have had the chance to share the previous bottle of Utopias once or twice with people who are not beer people, who are whiskey, bourbon, port, cognac people, and been in those situations where they're sharing ridiculously priced things. And of course, this is the only thing I have that's anywhere close to that to bring to a thing. And it is interesting to see people's responses to it who are not beer drinkers. And to try it. It's a real mixed bag what you get. Like, they confuses the heck out of liquor drinkers. They really don't know what it is. And I think that speaks to the real complexity and variety that we as beer drinkers get to enjoy. Being that's something that we spend our money on. And if you are adventurous enough to drink across the board, you're not just drinking IPAs. You're drinking all kinds of beers anyway. And then you have something like this, you can connect the dots. You really can. And for people who are connoisseurs, perhaps, of other types of spirits or drinks, that it's maybe harder for them to find that bridge. And so that's been a really interesting thing to see their reactions to it because of the real complexity of Utopias, because of the mouthfeel on it and how that differs from a lot of spirits and the overall ride taste-wise that you get on this beer. There's a lot to absorb and to process. Do we do it?
I think that we did.
All right. Good deal. If you like us and Brew Drink Run, go to Brew.
You sounded so emotional.
You guys.
Like, this has been exhausting, guys.
I'm so hot right now. I've almost finished my 2 ounces, and I'm just like on the verge of sweating. Yep. A little bit of Utopias will do it to you guys. Go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter at brewdrinkrun, on Facebook at facebook.com/brewdrinkrun. Go there to find out about our upcoming BDR 200 Spectacular. Forgot to mention at the top of the show today, no one's listening anymore, but I'm going to go and put it in here now. We'll be recording Brew Drink Run live for episode number 200 at Service Brewing in Savannah, Georgia, the first Saturday in March. Check us out on Facebook to find out more information about that. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running, or your favorite place to grab a beer. Even better than that, call us 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, and you could hear your voice on the show. We've got t-shirts and technical running shirts available at our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in the sauna because I'm so damn hot right now. Cheers.
I'm going gently with your special glasses. Yeah, I don't be all like,
cheers. Tiny clinks. They're very delicate.
Next time, I want a full pint served in a cold glass.
All right, no problem. Your invoice will come alongside it. You can drink it however you like if you're going to pay for it. No problems there, Holmes.